Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Bravo, macht Tempo, wartet auf Harter. Zwanke kommt und jetzt ist es Klos. Also Arminia Bielefeld.
Penny, 2-0. 2-0 für den FC St. Pauli.
Diese
Flanke, Tor, nächster Treffer.
Ist heuer Fernandes mit vorne. Ja klar ist er mit vorne. Kittel mit der Ecke, Feuerball und da!
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast, your home for everything Zweite Bundesliga. I'm your host, Matthew Karagic. It's a pleasure to have your company once again. We have a massive show to run through, of course. It was an English week in the Zweite Bundesliga with match day 28 and match day 29 taking place on the weekend. But before we get to that, I shall introduce my wonderful co-host once again, Eva Lotterbol. Eva, how are you today?
I'm a bit tired, but otherwise I'm okay. Thank you.
Preaching to the choir. But this weekend was, well, let's just say football isn't really the main focus. It was one that played second fiddle, and rightly so, as something Eva and I wanted to talk about before we got into the action was the events that happened in the United States, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The clear and obvious situation that continues to hamper not only the United States, but happens in Australia, the United Kingdom. But with the events of this magnitude, it's quite obvious that when it happens in the US and everything that's going on, it's going to take center stage, and it has so. I know that Eva has prepared something. Eva, I'll let you say what you need to say.
Yeah, first off, I think Matthew and I made it clear in the past that we're clearly against any form of racism. And although we're only a football podcast, politics play a huge role in our everyday life and also in football, and that is visibly shown by the protests on the weekend, on the likes of Marcus Thuram, who took a knee, Ashraf Hakimi, Jadon Sancho, Weston McKennie, and Anthony Modeste. And seeing what happened this last week, starting with the violent death of George Floyd, of course, by police brutality just because of his skin color, and that those men were only fired from their job that day, shows how racism is taking place in the US, and it took public protest for the leading suspected cop in this crime to get arrested. And a week later, the USA has fallen into a state of chaos, you can say, which resumed in more police brutality protests all over the world, and the hashtag Black Lives Matter trending once again. And I quickly want to explain, because I saw this at some under some post, why it's not correct to say all lives matter, because you can only say that if we have equality, and sadly people who have black skin color are still not equal in the society, and especially not in the US. And maybe if there was someone on forefront of this country who would understand the ongoing pain, fear, and anger of the people on the streets who are protesting for their lives, for the life of their children, we wouldn't see footages of burning buildings and tear gas. But sadly, Donald Trump doesn't know what leading means. I think you could really see that, I think, in the night from Monday to Tuesday. So just quickly, so everyone everywhere in the US, UK, in Germany, in Australia, all over Europe, please make sure racists don't get votes in the next elections. And one last thing, don't tell black people how to protest. Don't explain to them how they should feel and what they should do. Listen to them, donate if you can, sign petitions. There are a lot of petitions up from the Black Lives Matter page, and there are many people who make movies about racism and how to fight it. For example, Ava DuVernay, watch When They See Us, watch The 13th, and there are plenty of podcasts in German, in English, in all kinds of languages and books where you can educate yourselves. Yeah, and very one last thing, there are, I don't really know how far it's going on, but the DFB has to kind of look into the matters on the weekend, and Weston McKennie, a US American citizen, had, yeah, he was told by the referee, Felix Zweier, to take off the armband, which said justice for George Floyd. And his statement is, the league and everyone in soccer always preaches say no to racism. So I didn't think there would be a problem. If I have to take the consequences to express my opinion, to express my feelings, to stand up for what I believe in, then that's something that I have to do. And with that sentence, I want to close this short monologue.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many good points in what you've said, Eva. And obviously the right to protest and those First Amendment rights, which are clearly being violated by what's happening. I think you see all the videos that are going out of innocent people just casually standing there protesting, and the next minute the police are opening fire on people who are essentially, you know, doing nothing. And yeah, I really love what the players have done in Germany, and it's actually a real shame that the DFB have and the DFL have taken such a weak approach to supporting them. It should be noted that they were really onto it straight away when the Dietmar Hopp situation took place. They were at the forefront. We won't tolerate this. But when players, you know, who clearly have a profound effect of what's happening in the US, you know, look at a more broader issue and an issue that is far more serious than what happened to Hop, it really puts into perspective the issues that are at play. You know, I will personally never truly understand how it feels to be to walk down the street in the US as a black man and to feel unsafe, feel like, and I'll never truly understand that. And I think in this time, as Eva said, listen to what they have to say. You know, try and try and really see their perspective, because you know there are innocent lives being taken away for no real reason, but just pure hatred and racism, and it's truly awful. And yeah, it's not great, and I really feel for these people. And as Eva said, if you want to support, you know, keep trending this and just try and, you know, support those who desperately need our help. And there are a lot of people out there who, you know, don't deserve the treatment they are copying by people who preach, oh, stop racism, but, you know, the next minute they're casually opening fire on an innocent person because of the colour of their skin. We'll take a break from this important topic, and we'll get to the football. We'll have a short chat on Match Day 28, and then we'll start our Match Day 29 review. As I mentioned in the intro, it was an English week for the Zweite Bundesliga, and there is still one more English week heading in the middle part of June. That's the month we are in now. So let's get to Match Day 28. Briefly, we'll chat about maybe a couple of the games. The results were Jan Regensburg and Nürnberg played a 2-2 draw, a comedic own goal from Tim Knipping, giving the club a share of the points. It's not the only time they've given up a funny own goal. The 6-0 against Bielefeld would attest to that. Osnabrück took a massive win at Greuther Fürth, 2-0. Darmstadt were able to get 3 points at Aue, something that is very, very rare. Sandhausen, 1-0 winners over Wiesbaden. Dennis Diekmeyer scoring his first Zweite Bundesliga goal, and I think it was more than 3,000 days or something. Something really, really silly. Someone let us know what the number was. But I think everyone was thrilled to see him score. Hanover and Karlsruhe played a 1-1 draw. St. Pauli, Heidenheim, 0-0. Bochum 2-0 winners over Holstein Kiel, and Stuttgart came from 2-0 down at halftime to win 3-2. Eva, there are some massive results from match day 28. We'll briefly talk about maybe a couple of those. Which one held the most significance for you in terms of the results?
There are actually two. So one of them was the win by Osnabrück over Greuther Fürth. If you look at how Osnabrück kind of started into the restart of this league, it wasn't the best. After the 1-0 draw against Bielefeld, they kind of lost it a bit. So for them, that was really, really important to have the nil in the back, have a clean sheet, but also win this game. Really, really important. And as well, of course, one of the top spieler, the Stuttgart against Hamburg match. I think this was really a game of two tails. The first half, I thought Hamburg should have been like 4-0, 5-0 up. Really, really good performance in the first half. They didn't really use their chances, and that was the same problem against Bielefeld, I think. And yeah, then Stuttgart had a really good second half. Two questionable penalties, one on each side, I'd say. But in the end, it was a win for Stuttgart, and really important win if you look at the results that came on this weekend.
Yeah, that Stuttgart win was vital, even after the port start. Yeah, another Hamburg potential bottle job, that one. A game that they had pretty much comfortably sewn up to halftime, and then they just defensively prolapsed and gave that one away. As you mentioned, Osnabrück was a really good result for them. Sandhausen and Bochum, I'd say, for those prospective teams, I mean, Bochum, you know, are picking up points at the right time, heading in the right direction, as are Sandhausen. Sandhausen did this last season where, towards the end of the season, I think the last seven matches, they picked up 14 points and they went from third bottom to safety. Good old-fashioned safety. We should start with match day 29 as well. We're going to talk about the top four sides first, and then we'll get to the rest afterwards. We'll start with Arminia Bielefeld, the league leaders. They travelled to Kiel. Of course, they didn't play in midweek. They've got a catch-up game with Dynamo Dresden on the 12th of June, no, 16th of June or something in that region. We'll have to look it up in a moment. Bielefeld doing it difficult. They were fantastic in the first half, warranted their lead through Jonathan Klaus. Second half, not particularly great. Alexander Mühling getting Kiel on level terms, and in stoppage time, it seemed likely that it was going to be a point shed. You could argue that Kiel might have deserved the win, but Sven Shiplock, 1,106 days since his last goal, scored inside the six-yard box from a cross, shirts off, smiles everywhere, and a massive, massive win for Bielefeld.
Yeah, it is actually the game against Dresden is on the 15th of June, so Monday in 1.5 weeks. I had uni during this game, so I had the Zoom meeting on one screen, the game on the other one, and I was in the middle, really in the middle of a talk with my lecturer when Klaus scored. It was kind of tricky, but yeah, I was really surprised. The first half was like one of the best half I've seen this season. They just didn't really use their chances on the likes of Klaus, for example, as well as Klaus had another chance as well, I think. And yeah, the second half was like not good, as you said. Draw would have been definitely deserved. Ortega once again with a very good job, I think. And then yeah, for Sven Shiplock, I'm really happy for him. You could see it in the last couple of games that he really wants to be back at football, be back at playing. And I think for him, maybe scoring one of the more important goals of his career, definitely of this season. If you look at that, all three contestants below Arminia won, huge, huge win. And sometimes you just have to win the games that don't look like winning.
Absolutely. The mark of a champion team is one that, through adversity, finds a way to get it done. Bielefeld did it there. Another team that'd be a second on the table is Stuttgart. 2-0 winners at Dynamo Dresden. There was a lot of intrigue in this game as it was Dynamo's return after the 14 days in quarantine and only a couple of days of true training. It was really an interesting game. Stuttgart getting the win in the end. Goals from Hamidi Al-Ghadoui and Darko Chilinov. Enough to keep Stuttgart in second and only 5 points behind Bielefeld. Again, a point, a game behind. But it wasn't all entirely convincing. It has to be said that the maybe potential rustiness of Dresden entering the final third certainly helped Stuttgart's case.
Yeah, definitely. I rewatched the highlights just this morning, and at the beginning of the game, I think Stuttgart was really lucky that Dresden isn't really back in normal playing. I think Markus Kocinski said it, that they basically are from the balcony on the pitch, or from the bike on the pitch. Kind of sad. They would be contestants for the Tour de France, but not for regular football. So I thought, all in all, although it's a defeat, Dresden wasn't that bad like they were in, at some parts of the season. But as you said, they really struggled to get it done and really finding the back of the net, so a bit unlucky. Didn't really think that Stuttgart was, well, you from time to time you couldn't really see that they're like more 16, 17 places between them. But something that Stuttgart struggled in the last games to really, yeah, get a clean sheet, get all the 3 points, although it might not be at 100%, and for them, 2 wins in a row, really important step forward, I think.
Absolutely, and when you consider that they've got a very subpar away record, any result is very good away from home. They'll take it. It keeps them ahead of Hamburg, and yeah, it just keeps them in a really good position to challenge. If Bielefeld do decide to go for the old-fashioned bottle job, they can be the first to make it, although highly unlikely. Hamburg should be the next side we'll talk about. They, of course, were in that 3-2 defeat at Stuttgart. How would they respond? Dieter Hecking first said that I shall change goalkeepers and bring in Julian Polesbeck, who hasn't played a Zweite Bundesliga game since the 4th of May when they were beaten 3-0 at Ingolstadt. Hannes Wolf was the coach. We weren't sure why Daniel Hoyer Fernandez was left out of the squad, but we had it confirmed to us that he was dropped. And Polesbeck, I guess, was okay, but he got a really rude awakening when Manuel Schaefler scored an audacious chip to open the scoring for Wiesbaden. Then Kinsombi equalising just moments later. Poyon Palo made it 2-1. He could have probably had another early on in the first half. Then a penalty for Wiesbaden made it 2-2. Manuel Schaefer, once again, he has 18 goals this season. He is now the league's top scorer. And then Kinsombi again for his second, giving Hamburg a 3-2 win. We were talking about this off-air. Either it was by no means a convincing defensive display. We know how bad Rick van Tronkelen was in the game against Stuttgart. It was Timo Leitschert's turn to be particularly poor. It's almost evident that Hamburg almost got in their own way once again on Sunday.
Yeah, I think some HSV fans, we said in the past, are reminded of last season. This was by no means a good game. Or it was good game from Hamburg's side, as with the expectations they have. As a neutral spectator, maybe it was. I think there wasn't really good defending work being done on both sides. If you look at the 2-1 for Hamburg, the goalkeeper, the last line of being there, all don't look really good at that stage. Yeah, Wien is a bit lucky that Dresden and Karlsruhe both not won, and yeah, Manuel Schäffler, we spoke about it off air, kind of. I'm pretty sure he plays Zweite Bundesliga next season, no matter if Wien is going down or not. If you look at that first goal, that has Bundesliga quality. There are players in the Bundesliga who can't do that. So, yeah, really, really good goal. They're a bit unlucky to not get all three or one point out of this game for Hamburg. Crucial win. If you look once again at the other games, I think together with Bielefeld, those two wins were probably one of the more luckier sorts.
It was certainly not a particularly great Hamburg performance, but in the end, as we mentioned with Bielefeld, sometimes it's not how you play, it's getting the result. And again, this time around, it was Hamburg getting a vital, vital win, because there is a team in fourth place who is keeping both Hamburg and Stuttgart very honest in the race for promotion, and that is Heidenheim. A 3-0 victory over Erzgebirge Aue in what was a very evenly contested game, but the difference really was the conversion in front of goal leading to the 3-0 victory, even though Martin Mannl, the human fly, made an excellent penalty save on Mark Schnatter. It was Heidenheim's second missed penalty within 5 days. Seems like it was going to turn to Aue's favour. But an unfortunate own goal for Calogeri Rizzuto made it 1-0. Konstantin Kirschbaumer with a really good goal to make it 2. And then Stefan Schimmer getting his fourth of the season off the bench to make it 3-0. A fantastic result for Heidenheim, and Frank Schmidt continuing to drive the bus forward as Heidenheim keep the teams above them very honest.
Yeah, I think you could see in the first 10 to 15 minutes, or even most parts of the first half, that Heidenheim struggles a bit if they are in a position where they can really challenge the upper three teams. Maybe that own goal came to a very good time, especially with a Mark Schnatterer who doesn't play his best season, and as well with Tim Kleindienst missing out because I think of a yellow card suspension. But it's good to see for them that they're with Stefan Schimmer and Konstantin Kirschbaumer, two other players who can score. Especially for Kirschbaumer, who was very, very good at Bielefeld and kind of tries to find his way around to play in this Heidenheim side. If you look at the 3-0, I think you could see that it wasn't Aue's day. I think there are two players up to Stefan Schimmer, and they don't really attack him in any way. They just let him walk. Wasn't their best performance. Yeah, but they Aue can go into the rest of the season kind of calm. They will not get relegated, nothing to do with promotion anymore, but I think they can still be happy of how the season went so far.
Absolutely. I was reading somewhere on Kicker that the president of the club was talking about, we're still going to be wary of relegation, which when you're 8 points clear of 16th, and as is probably a customary in most leagues, you would suggest that 40 points is enough for safety. They are 2 points away from that. And I would be very surprised. It would take a monumental collapse to see them drop into that relegation scrap. We'll take our final break. We've still got plenty to unpack. We've got the rest of Match Day 29 and, of course, your topic questions. There was plenty of action away from the top four on Match Day 29. Leeds were definitely not safe in any part of the game. There were goals from a number of sides, in particular Sandhausen were the biggest goal scorers from the rest. But we'll start in Darmstadt, who hosted Greuther Fürth. A game they should have definitely won. They were by far the most productive side going forward. They were dominant in possession. And when Fabian Schnellart opened the scoring, it definitely seemed like Dimitris Gramotsis' side was on its way to 3 points. However, a bit of a defensive disaster class in the final few minutes saw Marvin Stefaniak get his first goal in Fürth colours to give De Kleibert a point. A very good point for them, but definitely, Eva, a massive element of frustration from a Darmstadt side who was comprehensively better on the day.
Yeah, definitely. I remember seeing that game. I was like, yeah, they should be 3-0 up or something like that. I think this is kind of the theme of this match day or the last two match days. Get your goals before it's too late. Yeah, for Darmstadt, a bit unlucky. If they would have won huge, like, closer step to Bielefeld, Stuttgart, Heidenheim, and HSV. Still, it's not a defeat. So, but yeah, Fürth can much more live with that point, especially after the defeat to Osnabrück than Darmstadt can.
Yeah, had Darmstadt won, they would have been only 3 points behind Heidenheim. Goal difference, I guess, a bit inferior in comparison to those teams in the top four. Yeah, you can't help but feel it was a missed opportunity, one that they won't rue because obviously they're not in any danger of going down. But if they really wanted to make things a little bit spicier and make it a top five, they really let themselves down. Good point for Fürth. They go up to sixth. Fürth will be hosting Sandhausen on Friday night. Darmstadt travel to Regensburg. And that leads perfectly to the next game, which was Osnabrück and Regensburg. And fair to say it was Jan being Jan. Once again, getting in front as they did. Sebastian Stolzer, Max Bershikov, 2-0 before half-time. It looked very clear for the Red Shorts that they were going to go and take all 3 points. But no. Marcus Alvarez, a player who Osnabrück will sorely miss. Of course, he's leaving at the end of the season. A brace for him, 13 goals this season. A point for Osnabrück. A really important point for Osnabrück, as we mentioned. Their result was important in midweek. And again, even though it's just a point, another important point and a step in the right direction.
Yeah, that was a huge comeback for them, I think, especially in the pace of 3 minutes. Marcus Alvarez really, since the restart, once again, or just in general this season, really important player, gets the goals when they're needed. But it's also Regensburg, this is the third game in a row, I think, or at least the second game in a row, where they gave up a 2-0 lead. As their coach, I would be a bit pissed, because if you dominate the team as they did in the first half, you have all 3 points secure, and then you don't really look at what is happening for 3 minutes, or basically, yeah, most parts of the second half, I think. If there would have been a winner in the end, it would have been Osnabrück. I think they had the better chances in the end. And yeah, it's a bit worrying if you look that they host Darmstadt on Sunday, as you said. Darmstadt will definitely want to take 3 points once again. So yeah, for Osnabrück, as you said, huge that they got that point. Bit step more forward to stay in the league.
Yeah, it certainly was, and they did finish the game extraordinarily strong, likened to a train with its brakes cut off. That's how quickly they were finding ways to get into the final third and create a number of great opportunities on goal, and they were probably a bit unlucky to not get the third and take all 3 points. But it is concerning for Regensburg. They have had a really poor 2020, and they are slowly going in the wrong direction and putting themselves into a little bit of that relegation dogfight that no one wants to be a part of. Two sides who are still in that dogfight are Karlsruhe and St. Pauli. That game ended a goal apiece. Dimitrios Diamantakos opened the scoring on 55 minutes with a nice little goal to round Benjamin Opoff. But it lasted all but 2 minutes when Jerome Gondorf, of course on loan from Freiburg, made it one or when it was fair to say that Karlsruhe probably should have won this game. They had some really good offensive chances, but just couldn't get it done.
Yeah, and for St. Pauli, it was two games in a row where they were the lucky team to take a point out of it. They were the lucky side to take a point out of the Heidenheim game, and there we're here once again. Yeah, the game itself didn't really offer much for St. Pauli, but they were lucky for Diamantakos to score, who will of course leave St. Pauli at the end of the season as well. Yeah, for Karlsruhe, it would have been vital 3 points, especially looking at Wien losing and Dresden not getting any points either. Yeah, they're a bit unlucky to travel to Aue now, because Aue is still one of the best home sides in this league. But yeah, can't really say much about that game. Just very unlucky Karlsruhe.
Yeah, had they won, it really would have put some pressure on Nürnberg in 15th place and closed the gap and very much put a number of teams in a situation where they would feel a little bit more uncomfortable than what they are. Sandhausen being one of those teams, as are Hanover. Sandhausen, comprehensive 3-1 victors over Hanover 96. Goals from Julius Baeda, Gerrit Nalba, Philip Tirpitz, John Guidetti getting the solitary goal for Hanover. This is, as mentioned earlier on, Sandhausen finished last season particularly strong, and they are starting to get a little bit of momentum in the right direction. They are now currently sitting in 10th place, and they were one of the big movers in terms of table position this match day. Either it's a particularly good result for Sandhausen, of course, to win, but it does put a lot of pressure on Hanover in a game that they had a lot of actual opportunities on goal, but just were particularly wasteful once again.
Yeah, and I think this they started really, really good into this year, Hanover. I think they had the second leg is a bit better than the first one was, which isn't that difficult, but yeah. And now they had the self-confidence in the last couple of games, but you could already see it against Karlsruhe that something is missing out. And yeah, they just didn't really get, John Guidetti came in, had his goal, but I didn't really have the feeling that something would happen afterwards, that it would be rather Sandhausen scoring than Hanover scoring another goal. And it was like this because Tirpitz got the goal in the end. So yeah, Hanover has to kind of get their things together for the weekend against Heidenheim. Won't be an easy game for them as well. And yeah, for Sandhausen, huge, huge win. Really liked the performance throughout the game. And I think Julius Biara is one of the winners of this restart.
Yeah, so he has hit some really good form since the lengthy break thanks to COVID-19 and Sandhausen. Yeah, vital points. They got to 10th. Happy days for them. That leaves us with our last game, which is the only scoreless tie. It was Nürnberg and Borkum. There were some decent offensive chances by both sides, and the sort of classic Manuel Riemann ranting, which, you know, let's be honest, now that we have no fans, which sucks, let's be fair. It is good. It is kind of enjoying to see him go kind of ballistic at his defense as a former goalkeeper, as there are a number who have been on the podcast and I assume listen to the podcast who played the position, definitely understanding that most of the stuff he says is not particularly friendly. But a good point for Bochum in the end. They actually are ninth. Not sure how they're ninth, but they've had a really good restart as well. But I guess the concern is for Nürnberg, who have been a bit sluggish out of the gates, and they're only 2 points ahead of Karlsruhe, and you look at the game they've got on the weekend, geez, they really missed a trick here.
Yeah, and I think especially in the first half, that game wasn't one to watch. I'm still a bit amazed on how the zone got 2.5 minutes of highlights out of this game, because I couldn't really find a lot. For Bochum, I think they are more happy with the draw than Nürnberg are. Of course, they came off the 2-1 win against Kiel. They, since the restart, as you said, they have been a bit better. They picked up their points. But yeah, as you said, for Nürnberg, you don't really know where they stand right now. For them, it's always good to have a clean sheet at the end of the game. But yeah, they really need to improve their way of sale. Otherwise, it's getting really dark.
Yeah, and it's not going to get easier as well, because they are playing Armenia Bielefeld away. And jeez, I mean, what a time it would be to pick up 3 points, but the way they've played since the restart, you're not really convinced that they're going to be able to get it done. We do have a few topic questions to get through, and we'll try and get through them swiftly. The first one from Steel Penguin at Steel Penguin 3. Hello, everybody. Do you think any other teams can join the battle for promotion? Of course, the top four, Bielefeld, Stuttgart, Hamburg, and Heidenheim. And then there's Darmstadt on their lonesome in fifth, but they are 5 points behind Heidenheim. Do you see, Eva, if anyone can challenge, like, can Darmstadt bridge the gap, or do you think it will be, as we are, the top four fighting for promotion?
Well, I think the thing that they do is just putting pressure on it. So none of the teams, at least from Stuttgart to Heidenheim, feel very safe in their role. And if, I mean, in this league, everything is possible. I don't think they're going up to second, but what one thing that is possible is maybe the relegation spot or relegation playoff spot for them. But yeah, they need really good games then, and Heidenheim and HSV, maybe both of them need to do a bit less.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. I think the top four as it is are the competitive, the best teams in the league. But yeah, if Darmstadt somehow were able to bridge the gap, they would need a lot of help to get there. Our next question is from Colin Moore at CGA Moore 96. Which of the Dritte Liga teams in the promotion race would you like to see in the Zweite Bundesliga? Now, looking at the Dritte Liga table as it stands, there are about 11 teams who could find their way into promotion in one of the more crazier promotion seasons that I have witnessed. Let's pick three teams that could gain promotion. Who would be those three teams that you'd like to see back in the Zweite Bundesliga?
A very difficult question. Well, I think, although Duisburg isn't in his best form, I think we have them going up, which would be, Westfalen derby, you could say, in the Zweite Liga next season with Bochum. And I don't know if Mannheim goes up. I didn't really see them play much this season. TSV 1860 is definitely still in the race. Would be kind of emotional to see them back into the Zweite Bundesliga. We all remember their kind of fallout of all the leagues. And teams like Braunschweig being back in the Zweite Bundesliga, we spoke about this off air. Just painting a picture, imagine if Bremen goes down, HSV somehow bottom the season, then you have, and Braunschweig goes up, Hannover stays in as well, then you have Bremen, St. Pauli, HSV, Hannover, Braunschweig, all in one league. That would be huge. One of the more interesting Zweite Bundesliga seasons in the couple of, like, last 10 years or so. But this league is so, so close. I can't really, like, I just can't say who I want to be back in the Zweite Liga, but I can't say in any way who will be back.
Yeah, I love chaos, so chaos is a good thing, especially as a neutral. But excuse me. I think 1860 Munich would be probably the one I would distinguish as a team that I would like to see back in the Zweite Bundesliga. The rest, wouldn't be too phased about whether it was Braunschweig, Mannheim, I mean Duisburg. I'm not particularly sure. I guess I'd probably say maybe Mannheim, very well supported side. had that derby with Kaiserslautern, which was mega in terms of atmosphere, and their cup game against Eintracht Frankfurt was delightful in terms of the atmosphere, but also the game itself. They played very well, even though they did lose. And yeah, I guess Braunschweig, just for the derby with Hanover, and really making a lot of trips to the north for a lot of sides. So I guess that would be a particularly good three to take up, but who honestly knows? You have the team that is top that have lost four of the last five, and the team that's fifth, which is Munich, unbeaten in the last 15. So I don't know how the hell that season's going to end, and it'll be fun though to certainly keep an eye on. Our last question is from Sam Bentley at Sam Bentley 23. Assuming Bielefeld get promoted, how much of a refresh is needed to be competitive in the Bundesliga, and is there the budget available to do it? Well, I will leave this one to Eva, more so in the know of what happens at the club. What do you think?
Yeah, another top, or once again, something we spoke about off air. I think a reason why Bielefeld is so successful this season is that in comparison to Hamburg and Stuttgart, we don't have a completely new squad. And that's something that the officials always look out for, that the main squad, the main starting 11 to 20 are kept together. And of course we need some new contestants to just spice up it a bit, but I don't think there will be as many new arrivals as one would expect. As well as money-wise, would have been a different topic before the whole COVID-19 thing. Now clubs really look out on how to spend their money. Like, we have that system in Germany called Kurzarbeit, where you get still 60% of your wage, but it's kind of weird to send your workers in Kurzarbeit while spending amounts of money on new players. So that's a bit weird. I don't think there will be much money being spent. We have some decent players who can definitely play Bundesliga, on the likes of Stefan Ortega, Marcel Hartl. I think Amos Pieper, although he's very young, he is definitely equipped to play Bundesliga. So I think we need a couple of right and left backs maybe, and maybe addition in striker-wise, some backup once again for Klose, but otherwise looks good.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how it ends up. Certainly one that we'll be talking about if, of course, Bielefeld do get promoted. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. Eva, thank you once again. It's always a pleasure to have you as my co-host.
Thank you that I'm always allowed to be on with you.
Always, always allowed to be on, whether they are in the Zweite Bundesliga or not. Stay safe, everyone. For those who are protesting, stay safe as well. Those who are in isolation, of course, with still COVID-19 still a factor. And we'll be back again next week. Until then, have a safe weekend. Goodbye.